Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends from perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. What does a father do when he receives a call from the other side of the world that his daughter has been hit by a bus while out on a run? This is the story of Tad Weiss, who wrote the book 25 Meters to God, where he shares the seven-year journey to healing and spiritual reawakening, as Isaiah 43 verse 2 talks of God being with us when we pass through the waters, rivers, and fires of life. Tad would say, amen. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program. Well, dear friend, it's simple. It's to lead you to Jesus Christ, to draw your heart closer to Him. Well, really, to let the Spirit, may the Spirit draw your heart closer to Jesus, for you to know the One who loves you no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, however tough things might seem to be, for you to know that God loves you, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that He shed His blood on that cross, that He was buried, and He was raised again on the third day, and the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Tad Weiss, reaches out to you. And my friend, if you already know the Lord, sit back and enjoy and be encouraged. Tad Weiss is the author of 25 Meters to God. He went to college in Minnesota. He works as a certified financial planner and is the president of Modus Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisory firm. He has served on the board of directors for Feed My Starving Children. He competes in triathlons. He is also a skier and golfer. Tad lives in Victoria, Minnesota with his wife, Wendy. Tad, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Columbus, Ohio. And my father was a basketball coach, and as he was moving up the ranks of his career, we moved throughout the Midwest. So my early years were spent in Ohio, Indiana, and Iowa before moving up to Minnesota to go to college.
Well, what was it like following in your father's, well, following in his footsteps on these campuses in different states?
Yeah, I think it was an ideal childhood. We, as I always say, we had the keys to the gym. So anytime we wanted access to the basketball courts or the swimming pools or things like that, our dad would take us. So, you know, a lot of my childhood was spent at games and in gymnasiums, and that's where my love for sports started and has continued throughout my life.
Well, you mentioned your father. Let me just throw out this question. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I'd have to start, Danny, with my parents. They were believers and followers of Jesus, and we always grew up going to church, and my dad was a camp counselor at a church camp in northern Indiana. So a lot of our formative years were spent in the summertime up there in a camp setting, which was fantastic. And then I'd also say that just various coaches that I had throughout my life were very instrumental in not only helping in the sport that they were coaching in, but very faithful men that really taught me that you can love God and be an athlete and be involved in sports at the same time.
A Christian upbringing through your parents. Talk to me a bit about your relationship with Christ. What was that journey like for you?
I think that my journey throughout my early years was really my parents' faith and them bringing me to church, and I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ at that point in my life, but I always knew that God had a hold on me, and I would go to Him at times of need, and He was always there for me, and He was always so patient with me, and would bring me back in, welcome me back in, even when I didn't deserve it, and maybe wasn't acting in the way that I should. When I got out of college, that foundation was still in me, and that drew me back to church in my early 20s, and that started a lifelong relationship for me, where it was my choice to be there and my desire to be in a church community and to continue learning about God and learning about Jesus. I met my soon-to-be wife in our mid-20s, and we attended church together, and we embarked on this journey of learning what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So in my early 30s was the time where I realized what that meant and what I needed to do, and dropped on my knees and gave my life to Christ. Even after doing that, it's still been a journey. It's still been a process of drawing closer to God and then falling away. And whether it's following the ways of the world or my own personal desires or things like that. So I feel like it's always been a learning process for me. And I'm just so thankful that God has been patient with me and has always been there when I needed Him, and has taught me what it truly means to be a fully committed follower of Jesus.
Your faith, the Lord's gracious working in your life and in your life, your marriage to Wendy, your children Maggie and Peter. Give us the background. Why is your book titled 25 Meters to God?
The title of the book has two meanings, Danny. The first is that the accident to my daughter happened in Sevilla, Spain in 2014. So it's been about 8.5 years now since the accident happened. She was just finished her sophomore year of college. She was 19 years old. She traveled over to Sevilla in the summer for a study abroad program during the summer months. She was a runner and ran on the cross country and track teams at her college. And she was out for a run early in the morning of June 5th, 2014. As she was running, she was crossing a busy intersection in the crosswalk, and a city bus ran a red light and hit her head on, going 37 miles an hour. The bus weighed over 20 tons. It hit her head on, launched her 25 meters in the air. So the first meaning of the book certainly is the distance that Maggie traveled through the air getting hit by that bus. 25 meters is the distance of a swimming pool. So if you want to look at something for a reference point to see how far that is, and that 25 meters that she traveled, we just can come up with no other explanation than God at the end of those 25 meters waiting to catch her, to save her, to heal her, protect her, and then eventually to restore her. So the first meeting is certainly the distance that Maggie traveled through the air from that impact, and the clear miracle that God performed in protecting her and saving her. A second meaning of 25 meters to me is that I view that as the distance that I was holding God away before the accident. So even though I knew Jesus and knew what it meant, I wouldn't say that I had fully committed my life to Him in the sense of allowing Him to be Lord of my life in every area of my life, 24/7, every day of the year. And that 25 meters that I was holding him away, where he was there and he was waiting for me and was always available to me, but was just desiring for me to close that gap with him and to just run into his arms. And when the accident happened and we were thrust into a situation that we had absolutely no control over, that was my reaction, was just to turn and run to him. And it's been the best decision that I've ever made.
You're listening to Tad Weiss. He wrote the book 25 Meters to God. It's a story of his daughter, Maggie, how she was hit head on running in Sevilla, Spain. She's just 19 years old. She was launched 25 meters in the air. It's a story of God's miracles. It's a story of God sightings, as Tad writes. He writes in partnership with his wife, Wendy, this incredible day-by-day-by-day expression of the things, the details that they experienced, the feelings that they felt, the prayer support that they received. The Lord has lifted them. And Maggie is healed. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Tad Weiss. His daughter Maggie struggled, first to survive, then to heal from multiple injuries, including traumatic brain injuries in two places. When we come back, you'll hear more. Tad and his wife, Wendy, did the only thing that brought them comfort. What was that? They prayed. My friend, are you in a moment of struggle? Are you dealing with news that you never thought you'd have to deal with? Do you feel like life has turned into a nightmare? Tad Weiss is here to remind us about prayer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the bare.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, that's right. Tad and his wife, Wendy Weiss, they did the only thing that brought them comfort. They prayed. Prayed for what? You might be tuning in right now. Well, their daughter, Maggie, was hit head-on by a bus. She flew 25 meters in the air, landed, you know, that's the size of a swimming pool. They also established a page for Maggie on Caring Bridge, a website designed to allow people facing medical conditions to communicate with family and friends. If you want to find out more about the book, 25 Meters to God, go to 25meters.com. Again, number 25meters.com. If you'd like to get this podcast, it's available for you. Go to drdanny.live, share it with a family member or friend. Tad, how is 25 meters to God distinct in depicting recovery from brain injury?
I think the story in the book, Dr. Danny, is distinct in magnitude of the injuries that Maggie had. When she was hit by the bus, she had a smashed pelvis on both sides. She had 7 broken ribs, a broken elbow, lots of road rash, and a traumatic brain injury in two places on her brain. When we saw her, we got the call and immediately got on a flight to go over to be with her in Spain. And when we saw her the next day, about 28 hours after the accident, she was totally unrecognizable to us, partly from being hooked up to every monitor and tube that you can imagine, but just the swelling on her face and body, it just didn't even look like her. We were told that the healing would be a very long process, but every single day we saw improvement in when we would be able to see Maggie. So God just encouraged us in so many ways that he had the healing under control and that we didn't need to worry about it. And, you know, that's easier said than done. We're taught in the Bible over and over again to not worry, to not be afraid. But it's very hard to do when your daughter's hanging on for her life. But the healing was, very steady, and that was certainly an encouragement to us. Maggie recovered from those injuries. She started walking about 3 months after the accident. She started running 4 months after the accident and was back on the track team the following spring, about 10 months after the accident occurred. So from not knowing if she would live to then hoping that she would be able to walk and would regain all of her mental capacity, as well as her physical abilities. God just performed an amazing miracle of healing in her over the short term, but then over the long term too, as far as what she's been able to do with her life now, here 7-8 years after the accident.
3 to 4 months, and then she's back on her feet, engaging in her love of running and back in school. Tad, were there some longer term effects of the brain trauma that you noticed that you had to deal with?
There were, Danny. The brain is just a fascinating, it's fascinating to see it heal. In the early days when she started to speak again and started to piece things together from the accident, she may not know, she wouldn't know very basic things like what year it was or the college that she went to. But then she could pull out very obscure facts that you would think would be totally insignificant. So it was fascinating to see the different parts of the brain heal at different times and come back for her. We trusted that God knew the timing and that knew the plan for her in what would be her perfect healing. So we tried all along to just trust in that and to not push that process, but that he knew what the timing was and what that would be. I think the biggest, the hardest part for Maggie in her brain healing had more to do with her confidence and in many cases, confidence in social situations. And that took a lot of years for that part of the brain to come back and for that, for the confidence to grow in different situations. So her ability to do schoolwork and academic work came back fairly quickly. But it was certainly a long process. I would say, you know, maybe a 5-year healing before you could say that her brain was totally and completely healed. And today at this point, we would say that it is, that God knit her back together, with the help of some fantastic doctors, both in Spain and in Minnesota, to the point where, she's better than she was before. And that was part of God's plan for her, we think, where he stripped away certain parts of her life only to replace them with people and activities that were even better than before the accident.
When you describe that, Tad, it is, you know, better parts, replacements, through brokenness. There's such redemption in that message, in your reality. Share with us one or two of the God sightings in the story of Maggie's recovery.
Yeah, there were so many, Danny, and many of them are listed in the book. I could go on for hours and in recounting them. But the very first God sighting that we saw was when we heard of the accident and we needed to get over to Spain. I jumped on the phone to get flights over to Spain. We were able to quickly do that. We ran to the airport. We live about 30 minutes from the airport in Minneapolis-St. Paul, so it was we got there very quickly. We go to check in for the flight. Our first flight was from Minneapolis to Chicago, and the person at the desk said, "I don't know how you got on this flight. This flight's been oversold for 2 weeks." But God had cleared up two seats for us so that we could make that first flight. And I don't know if he changed someone else's plans or their business plans or what he did or how he did that. But that was our first God sighting. There were so many God sightings around Scripture. One of the beauties of Caring Bridge is a website that you can set up and give regular updates on usually a loved one going through an accident or a medical emergency or situation. And you set up a site for them and go in and you put one post on there. And then everyone who wants to follow along can log into the site and get that information on that they're looking for and how your loved one is doing. But then they also can respond to you and reply to you. So we set up that site on our first day over in Spain, and we were just blown away by the number of people that followed along and that encouraged us and sent us scripture and just told us that they were praying for Maggie and praying for us. One of the first few days that we were there, a friend sent us the verse from Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And it was a Sunday, and in the afternoon over in Spain, and a friend of ours sent us that verse and just said that she was praying for us. And we were in a very fearful point at that point in our journey. It was day three of being in Spain. And that verse just provided a lot of comfort to us. And then it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Spain, 9 o'clock a.m. back home in Minnesota. We tuned into our church, to an online church service. And the very first song opening up the service that day was "For I Am the Lord Your God," which is written from Isaiah 43:2. So those two events just happening within a 5-minute period, it was God providing comfort through a friend, through scripture, but then God just hammering that message home and just saying, I've got this covered. I knew all about this before it happened. I'm here for you. I've got her in the palm of my hand. You don't need to worry. And that was a beautiful moment to us that really told us that God was there. And there were just so many situations or so many occurrences like that, Danny, where scripture just came to life. The things that you read about from Jesus walking with the disciples 2,000 years ago, and it just applies perfectly and totally to the situation that we were going through, and really revealed the truth of scripture to us.
25 Meters to God, that's the title of the book written by Tad Weiss. You're listening to him share the incredible story of how, well, he talks about God's sightings. He's got many of them there recorded. But this is here's a question. Could this be, dear friend, as you listen to him, as we share in this time together, could this be a God sighting in your life? Could God be reminding you through Isaiah 43, verse 2, through our guest today, as he speaks from his heart, that when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, that the Lord is with you sometimes. Isn't that like ointment that's rubbed in to bring healing, to bring salve to a wound, that the Lord is with you? Well, the Lord sends Tad Weiss, author of 25 Meters to God, to remind you, to remind us that we are not alone and that he will carry us through. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from him. You can find out more about the book, get the book, buy more than one book, share it with a family member, share it with a friend, pick up the book for the holidays, give it away as a gift. Be a good encouragement to someone, maybe someone you know who has had a brain injury or is recovering from a sickness, illness, or a broken body. Words of Hope, 25meters.com. Get it there. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the bare.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Evangelism can be likened to an exquisite pearl necklace. In order for the necklace to be complete, each pearl is carefully strung on, one at a time. Only after the last pearl is strung will the clasp be attached. Most people are convinced that the apex of evangelism is in being that figurative clasp, leading someone to trust Christ. In reality, there would be no need for a clasp without any pearls being strung. Which is more important, the pearls or the clasp? They all are. Not everyone can be a clasp all the time, but in evangelism, you can always be a precious pearl.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Through daily journaling on Caring Bridge, Tad Weiss, the author of 25 Meters to God, found himself sharing insights God revealed to him through the process of Maggie's recovery from 7 broken ribs, a broken elbow, a shattered pelvis, brain injuries sustained from being hit by a bus in Sevilla, Spain. Welcome back to our show. You can find out more about the book 25 Meters to God at 25meters.com. Tad, what did you learn about yourself in writing 25 Meters to God?
Oh, I learned so much, Danny. Believe me when I say that in the early days, 8 years ago, there was no thought of writing a book. I was just simply revealing what was happening with Maggie to update our friends and family on her condition and how she was recovering. But then we were just seeing God work in so many ways and in so many instances. And my writing just started to talk about those things as well, not just updates on Maggie's medical condition, but how we were seeing God working through the doctors, through the people of Spain, through the body of believers back home that were following her story on Caring Bridge. So it was really a beautiful illustration of the body of Christ surrounding us and praying for us. And then God just acting in so many different ways that was amazing to see. So I think that so much of it is, and this is the real blessing of an accident like this, is that it just strips away so much of the facade or what we're trying to hide from people or protect ourselves against. And for me, it was just a very liberating moment for me from a faith standpoint. And it was amazing to see everything that God was doing. And I just couldn't wait to write about it. About 4 days in, a friend of mine sent me an email and said, You know, we've done a lot of things together throughout our lives. He was a college buddy. We've known each other for over 30 years. We've done so many things together, but this writing thing that you're doing is just, it's just blowing me away. I'm seeing and understanding God in totally new ways. And when he wrote that to me, I was initially puzzled because there wasn't any intent behind what I was writing. I was just explaining to everyone following on Caring Bridge what it is that we were seeing and how we were seeing God at work. That night when I went to bed, I must have had that email in the back of my mind because God met me that night. 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up in a pitch black hotel room and I could just feel the presence of God around me. And he started telling me, it's time for you to take the filter off. It's time for you to just really share with everyone what you're seeing and what you're learning about me. I've put you in a unique position here to tell people how you're seeing me work through this accident. And that at that moment, I had this thought, what happens if you get hit by a bus? And that thought just kept running through my mind over and over again. I'm like, where have I heard that? And in my business, many times clients will ask, what happens to us? What happens to our accounts if something happens to you, Tad? What happens to us if you get hit by a bus? And it dawned on me that that's the politically correct way to say, what happens if you die? Because if you get hit by a bus, you're going to die. Most people will die. And the bus that hit Maggie going 37 miles an hour, 22 tons of bus, throwing her 25 meters in the air, she should have died from that accident. That was very clear. And that next morning I got up and normally I'm a note taker, Danny. I would make myself get up in the middle of the night to jot these thoughts down. And God said, no, just go back to bed. You'll remember it in the morning. And I got up the next morning at 5 a.m. and grabbed a cup of coffee and just knocked out one of the posts, which was what happens if you get hit by a bus. And it was a call to all the followers on Caring Bridge that you don't know what the next day holds for you. We don't know how many days we have on this earth. And unfortunately, it's a reality of the sinful world that we live in, that today could be your last day here on earth. And if it is, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for your soul and for eternity? And the good news for Maggie was that if she did not survive that accident, we knew that she was going to heaven and going to be with Jesus. And there would be a great celebration in heaven for the life that she lived. But what about you as someone following us on Caring Bridge or a listener here today? What if you don't have that assurance? And it was a call for the gospel. It was a call to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it was just so liberating for me to be able to write that. And I would say at that point, that's where my writing really, at that point, I knew that I was not over there just to be there for my daughter, but also to tell people how I was seeing God working through the accident. And we just have so many beautiful stories of people who have come to faith through our story, have grown in their faith, been given hope and encouragement by a terrible accident to our daughter.
Liberating is the word that Tad Weiss shares as far as his experience. And there's something about writing, the reflective nature of writing, processing, living through a moment. Tad, you included something there about a friend named Bruce Helgeson, who took a knee with three others on a tee box, praying. And I think a picture was sent of them doing that. What touched you?
I think what touched me on so much on that photo and that message from my friend is that, and I think this is for guys in particular, but also can be for women as well, that Our faith is a very, we're taught, particularly in Minnesota here, Scandinavian roots that run throughout the state, that faith is a very private thing, and that it's something that that you just keep to yourself. And here were four of my friends out playing a round of golf. Normally, when you play a round of golf, you don't talk of much of anything of significance. Yet they were stopping in the middle of the day and taking a knee to give thanks to God for the work that he was doing in saving Maggie, the work that he was doing in my life through the accident. And that was just so meaningful to me that a group of guys would do that. And I think it goes right back to taking the filter off and the liberating nature of writing and talking about God and talking about Jesus amongst our friends, is that it feels good and it feels right, and yet it's something that we sometimes shy away from because we're afraid of what people are going to think of us, or we don't want them to think that we're a Jesus freak, or you know, whatever that reason may be. And one of the incredible blessings for me throughout this whole journey has just been you just realize that that's those things that we try to project, that's not what matters, and telling others about Jesus and walking with them through life's trials and challenges, that is what God wants us to do, to lift his name high, to not be ashamed of the gospel. And so that's what I saw those four guys doing, is they weren't ashamed of the gospel. And it was a beautiful thing.
Before we take our break, I want to ask you to share quickly, give us a snapshot about this. I want to talk about Corby. What lesson did Corby teach you during Maggie's recovery?
Yeah, so Corby's our dog. He's now 8.5 years old. So was born right around the time of the accident. Danny, when my wife and I were, we would make three treks to the hospital from our hotel room every day, a 5-block walk, and we would do it at the same time every morning, and then over a little early afternoon, and then in the evening. In the mornings, we always ran across this same dog. It was a chocolate lab. The owner was out walking his dog in the morning, and I viewed that as a sign from God that he wanted me to get a puppy for Maggie when we got back home to help in her healing. Now, in hindsight, I can look at it and say that we were just on the same schedule as the owner who was out walking his dog, just like he did every day. So you don't always see and interpret the signs from God correctly. And maybe when I get up to heaven, he'll tell me that I missed that one. But I saw that as a sign that we needed to get a puppy for Maggie to help in her healing. And when we got back to Minnesota and we brought her back home, we did that. And he was just the cutest little guy, it was just such a blessing to Maggie, and I about drove my wife crazy because we're bringing our daughter home in a wheelchair and I decide to get a puppy. But he's just been such a great support for her and just such a part of our family. I think I'll have a good laugh with God. That's one of the questions I want to ask him, was that a sign from you that I should get a puppy? Or was that just a guy out walking his dog and we happened to be walking by him at the same time each day?
Well, I take it that it was a blessing to Maggie in her recovery, and Corby is still a blessing to your family. You're listening to Tad Weiss. His book is 25 Meters to God. You can find out more about his book. You can get his book. You can purchase that book and share it with others. Hard copy, Kindle version. Share it. 25meters.com. When we come back in our final segment, yes, prayer. But did you know that Maggie did something that you would not expect someone to do? After being hit by a bus in Sevilla, Spain. I'll let Tad share about that when we come back. It's a remarkable story of recovery, redemption, healing, and hope. 25 meters to God. Go there. Check that out. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the bare.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
It was a slow process, according to Tad Weiss, author of the book 25 Meters to God, speaking of the healing of his daughter Maggie, experienced after she was hit by a bus. Tad says, "I've had a front row seat to witness a miracle, and I want to tell others about our amazing God." Well, he's doing just that in his book, 25 Meters to God. He joins us today, sharing heart to heart with you. You know, it's not an easy thing to go through a traumatic experience like that as a father, much less Maggie herself. But Tad, his wife, Wendy, their son, Peter, and how the Lord has blessed Maggie with her husband, Paul, and their relationship, how he has restored them. But Tad is speaking in an unbridled way about the amazing grace of God. Again, go to 25meters.com. Tad Weiss, in this, our final segment, St. Olaf College. When you hear that name, what do you feel?
Well, Maggie was a student there for 4 years, and she graduated from St. Olaf in 2016. But her 4 years there were interrupted almost right in the middle by the accident. So there was definitely a before the accident period, where I would say that she was very popular and was a very strong student, and where she kind of started in her track career, in her cross-country career. A year into going to school there, she decided to make a shift from being a music major to a different major, which ended up being Spanish and Latin American studies, which led her over to Spain. But she also wanted to join the cross-country team, and she started running with the women at St. Olaf in her sophomore year there. And then the 2 years after the accident were very different for her. Her friendships changed. She was not able to participate in the social activities that are normal on a college campus. 9 o'clock p.m., you know, she needed to go to bed. And that's kind of when things get started at most college campuses. So her life really changed in the last couple of years at St. Olaf. Fortunately, she was far enough ahead in her schooling that she was able to continue and to graduate on time. She graduated with honors, which we were extremely proud of, that she was able to do that. She continued running after she healed. So she did run later in her junior year and then in her senior year at St. Olaf. She was getting so much enjoyment and so much healing from her running and from sports that's what kind of led us into saying, why don't you try a triathlon? Maggie had swam when she was younger, so she knew how to swim. That's often what holds people back from doing a triathlon, is they don't know how to swim in an open body of water. But she knew how to swim and she knew how to run. So we thought it'd be something that we should try. So we got her a bike, and then after her junior and senior years of college, she did her first triathlons. It turns out that she was pretty good at them. She was a good runner in college, not a great runner, but she was equally good at swimming and at biking. And when you put the three together, it turned out that she was a very competitive triathlete. So this was something that she had not done before the accident. It wasn't on our radar at all. I had done some races earlier in my life, so I knew a little bit about it, enough to get her going in it and get her started. But she started having success doing that. And that was such a big part of her healing, a way for her to know that she wasn't damaged goods, because she could do what's an incredibly difficult sport and have great success doing it. So Maggie did triathlons for a number of years and did extremely well in them on the local level. She qualified to race at nationals for USA Triathlon a couple of years, and then had such good results at one of those races that she qualified to race in Worlds over in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. So she was having these amazing experiences through triathlon, and it really helped in her healing. About 2018, she was racing that year and she became injured. And when the injury occurred, she was obviously very disappointed, and she couldn't, she had to shut it down for that season. But that was another God orchestrated event where that freed her up to go to a graduation party with us, where she met her future husband. So once again, even in the difficulties of life and the injuries and the setbacks, you could see God's hand at work orchestrating events in her life. In 2019, Maggie got married. In 2020, as we all know, was the year of COVID, so there weren't any triathlon races in 2020. But in 2021, Maggie decided that she wanted to do her first Ironman triathlon. And for those of you who don't know, an Ironman triathlon is a very long distance event. It's a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and then a 26.2-mile marathon run to finish. So it's one of the most difficult endurance events that you can do. And Maggie tackled that in 2021 and completed her first one in 2021. She did the same race again this year in Madison, Wisconsin, and actually won the race. So she won the women's division of the 2022 Ironman Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, and qualified for the World Championships, which are held in your home state, Danny, in Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii. So Maggie's just had that's been such a great part of her recovery, and just amazing that she could go from 8.5 years ago, where you're thinking, okay, we're praying that she can live, and we're praying that then that she'll be able to walk and then be able to run, and now to be a very competitive triathlete and able to do these things has just been amazing.
Remarkable. Remarkable. As we share in this time, as we begin to close, Tad, share a word of encouragement to someone who may be going through a very rough time right now. And I'd like to ask you to pray for that dear person.
My word of encouragement would be that the God that we read about in the Bible and the Old Testament times, and then Jesus walking the earth 2,000 years ago, all of the miracles that God performed, all of the healing that Jesus did, that those miracles, that healing is available to you and to me today. And as you mentioned, Danny, I was blessed to have a front row seat to see the miracles of God performed in my daughter's life and in my life. I was able to see how God can take a terrible accident and use it for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's a very powerful promise. And my word of encouragement would be to spend time with that verse and to really break it down and to really dissect it and see what God is saying to you through that verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Not some things, not a few things, but in all things. And in our life, those all things, one of those all things was my daughter getting hit by a bus. God worked for good through that accident, and he can do that through any of life's trials or challenges that you're facing. And just know that God's promises and his word is good and it's true and he is faithful, and he will keep those promises in your life. So let me pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time with Dr. Danny, and I thank you for his ministry and for all the listeners who are out there and who are hearing our story. My prayer is that our story through the book or through this time together with Danny, that we would be a light of encouragement to anyone and everyone who is going through a dark time. There will be challenges in this world. Jesus told us so. This isn't an easy world to live in, and we're going to come up against obstacles and challenges. But God will walk with us through the fire, and he will bring good out of every situation. So my prayer for the listener today, if you're going through one of those dark moments, is to know that the God of all miracles is with you and for you, that he will come alongside you and that he will carry you, and that he will bring good out of whatever trial or challenge that you're facing. So have patience, have faith, have trust, pray, surround yourself with believers and with people who will help carry you through the difficult time that you're going through, and trust that God will create something new in your life that will be new and beautiful and that will bring honor and glory to him and good to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the restoration, Maggie even went back to Spain. Restoring words from Tad Weiss, 25 meters to God. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this may be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tad Weiss, 25 meters to God, 25meters.com. Until next time, along with my producer David Nasora, creative director Brian Torres, web designer Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.